So, welcome to the next edition of the Rare Business Podcast. With me today, I have Erica Vellini, who is US Human Capital Leader for Deloitte Consulting. Hi, Erica. How are you doing?
I'm good. Good to talk to you.
Fantastic. So, Erica, for the benefit of our listeners and readers, can you tell us a bit about you and also a bit about the work that you do?
Sure. So, I have been in and around the human capital consulting space for about 20 years. Spent a large chunk of my career at Deloitte. I've done, everything in and around the human capital space, probably imaginable. Most recently, I've spent a lot of time focused on HR transformation, helping HR organizations navigate this disruption they're facing. And I moved into the human capital role about 8 months ago. And in terms of what we do from a human capital standpoint, at its, at the million foot view, we help organizations drive and sustain their organizational performance through their people or their workforce.
Okay.
And obviously, there's a lot that goes along with that. But our belief and what we're seeing in the market is that, as digital in particular has come in to the world that we're living in, a lot of the traditional assets that companies have, their physical assets, their technology assets, a lot of them are becoming commoditized or going away. But the one asset that has continued to remain is the people and the workforce. And we see that as a true differentiator, but it's obviously changing with the advent of the future of work and everything surrounding that. So helping organizations navigate that change is really our primary focus.
Fantastic. Now, I'm interested in all things sort of service, experience, and engagement, and so on and so forth. But I've also been thinking a lot recently about the organizational sort of dimension of what it takes to deliver good things in those sort of spaces. And I've been talking to different businesses about this. So as you kind of mentioned, you're interested in the future of work, and you're looking at that and helping organizations with that. To get us started, can you outline some of the main challenges and trends as you see them in this kind of future of work space?
Yeah, absolutely. It's interesting. I think the biggest challenge we're seeing right now with future of work is that, the tagline that and the headline that gets the most views is the robots are coming and your jobs are going away. Right. So we're kind of living in this this world of essentially really fear that robotics and automation are going to step in. They're going to take over jobs. And, we have a very different view. Our perspective is that, yes, there is no doubt that automation is going to have an impact on the work that's being done. But we see it from a more positive view, which is that while certain tasks are going to be automated, automation is also going to provide an opportunity to create net new roles, net new skills, net new capabilities that's going to enhance what the workforce has the ability to do. Mm-hmm. It's going to enhance bringing experience to a higher level within organizations. And when you make that shift in terms of what work is going to be done, who is going to be doing it, where it's going to be done, you're really fundamentally changing your kind of core culture. Mm-hmm. And it has an impact on the structure of your organization, the way you develop and reward and motivate talent, the way you develop leaders. And so it really becomes kind of a pretty big shift for organizations to tackle. And in our world, the future of work isn't just about automation. It's really about how you leverage automation, how you change the types of talent models that you're bringing into the organization to do the work, and then where the work is going to be located, because we're seeing many more options for work to be more virtualized. And what does that mean for the culture of the organization as a whole?
And does that mean that the it sounds to me as if, and this is something I've been thinking about, and let's see, let me check my understanding in this as well, that so it feels like, yes, we're in the 21st century, but it feels like actually we're in the 21st century, but in many times we are still operating using sort of 20th century models of organizations. And does that mean that we're actually going to have to change our mental models of what we think an organization is and how it's structured?
Yes, yes to all those points, absolutely. You know, the biggest change that we've seen in organization structure, and we actually talked about this in our Human Capital Trends report a couple of years back, is the formation of networks of teams.
Right.
And the idea that when you look at things like innovation, innovation doesn't happen necessarily in a traditional hierarchy, right? Because if you think about a traditional hierarchy, it's all about approvals, workflows, and in a way, it can very much stagnate the creation of net new ideas. See where innovation is occurring. It really occurs when you bring together individuals from across the hierarchy into what we call a network of teams. And that allows you to drive enhanced collaboration, different types of thinking, and that's where a lot of the innovation comes from. So the challenge for companies is how do you sort of formalize this concept of network of teams in your organization? Now, we're not proposing that that means all hierarchies go away. It's not possible, especially in our large global organizations. But what it does mean is that organizations need to think about whether through technology like new collaboration tools or, you know, different types of incentives, team-based incentives, or how to create leadership that can work and motivate in teams. What are the different levers you can push or pull to bring that team-based thinking into the organization and develop what we would call kind of a new digital DNA for your company, that allows you to think, act, and react very differently.
I mean, because it seems to me that kind of the conversation kind of right now is it's very much, I mean, not from what you're kind of like saying, it seems, but it seems that the conversation is very much dominated by this idea about digital transformation or technology-driven transformation. But what you're saying is that actually it's much, much more than that. It has to be a balanced sort of people and technology kind of transformation. But which do you think actually we should lead with? I mean, is it like one facilitates the other? And if so, which is the cart and which is the horse?
Yeah, that's a great question. The typical chicken or egg. Well, first of all, I don't think it's a question of technology versus people. I think that it's technology plus mindset.
Right, okay.
And I actually think that the mindset really needs to come first, because how do you know what technologies to put in, what digital technologies to bring in, if you don't know what you're trying to shift in terms of the mindset?
Sure.
So, for example, if you're trying to be more collaborative, you know, as a culture, you might look to some of the digital workplace tools that are out there that promote that level of collaboration. Very different than, you know, if you were trying to, you know, change the skills of your workforce and you needed to upskill, you might look to different technologies and maybe you focus on creating a digital learning environment that is going to help your workforce learn more quickly. My point being that without understanding where you are today, and then what is the mindset shift you're trying to create towards digital? I think it's very difficult to figure out what technology you need to enable it. And if you do put in that technology without thinking about that shift in mindset, then are you really going to be able to get the level of adoption that you're looking for from your workforce?
Sure.
Why is it any different than any other technology implementation you've done in the past? And what we found, and actually, you know, we've done a study with MIT for the past 5 years around digital transformation. And probably the biggest finding that we've had is that 5 years in, one thing has become clear, which is that the change to the organization and the mindset is the biggest driver of becoming and being digital than anything else that an organization does.
Right.
So, you know, from my perspective, it's always going to be first.
And just kind of go back a second. You talked about how, you know, building on this kind of mindset is going to cause us to, if you get that right, it's going to cause us to reevaluate how we, you know, nurture talent, develop it, you know, build leaders and so on and so forth. And but does it go back even further? I mean, do you think they're actually going to have to think about, you know, what with these new skills, which whether they are collaboration or empathy or creativity or all these different sort of new skills, which are softer skills rather than the hard sort of skills? Do you think we're going to have to also kind of change the way that we actually identify and recruit people in this kind of new future of work world?
Oh, I absolutely do. Now, it's not to say every piece of work is going to change, right? Because if you think about a given work process, there are some tasks that are going to remain the same. There are some tasks which will become automated. And there's some tasks which have the opportunity for this reinvention that you're talking about. But I do think as a result, we're going to see net new skills and competencies are required. Mm-hmm. I think we're going to see a heavier focus on things like customer service, mm-hmm. Demonstrating empathy, active listening, mm-hmm. The ability to glean insights out of a mass amount of data that's now going to become available. A focus on experience, right? And how do you create and curate an experience for your customer base?
Yeah,
I think those types of skills are going to become required. And if you think about today's traditional talent acquisition processes, they don't necessarily get at those skills. It's much easier to recruit for a technical skill set than it is for one of those skill sets.
Sure.
And we can call them soft skills, but they're really going to be about relationships and experience, because that's, in my mind, that's going to be the ultimate differentiator. You know, it's interesting when you think about companies today, right, and the traditional assets that they use for differentiation, mm-hmm. right? You know, it's your physical assets, your technology assets. But if you look at, you know, take an Uber, an Airbnb, and an Amazon, right? On the whole, right, those three companies don't really have cars, hotel rooms, or stores,
sure.
right, which is what you would traditionally see. What do they have, right? They have their brand, and they have the experience that they're creating. The brand and the experience, I think, are going to become the true differentiators. And the only way to execute your brand and the experience is through your people and your workforce. That's what brings it to life. And so whoever recruits those individuals who are going to be able to really bring it to life, right, they're the ones who are going to be able to really use that as their ultimate brand differentiation. And you can start to see, based on that, how the execution of the business strategy will be so tightly integrated with how a company approaches their human capital management.
Excellent.
That's what excites me, as you could probably hear in my voice.
Yeah, absolutely. And then, but you also kind of mentioned this idea that the organization needs to develop their own sort of digital DNA. Like, what does that mean? I mean, what is kind of like, can unpeel that for us a little bit, if you don't mind?
Yeah, absolutely. So through our research, we've identified four stage gates, if you will, on the maturity towards being digital.
Okay.
There's exploring digital, which is essentially, you know, you're kind of leveraging traditional technologies to automate your existing capabilities. So you're looking at it from a technology standpoint, but you're not really changing the organization.
Mm-hmm.
To doing digital, which means, okay, you're starting to leverage digital technology. So you're thinking outside of traditional technologies. But again, you're doing that in the context of your same processes and operating model.
Mm-hmm.
And then there's a big leap towards becoming digital, which is where you're starting to change your operating model to work with these digital technologies. And then finally, there's being digital. And if you're going to be digital, that means that everything you do, your business, your operating, and your customer models are all optimized for digital, and they look fundamentally different.
Okay.
And so based on that maturity spectrum, you know, the question is, where are companies on that spectrum? Most organizations and many of our clients, frankly, have no idea where they stand. They may think they're digital because they've implemented digital technologies, but they don't know the nuances along that spectrum. And so as a result, we identified what we call digital DNA, which are 23 traits of what it means to be digital, that last stage in the maturity spectrum.
Right.
And just to give you some examples of some of them.
Okay.
You know, are you continuously innovating? Are you geographically agnostic? Do you have dynamic skill requirements? Do you have the ability to democratize information? Do you have agility? Do you have a flattening and changing hierarchy? Do you have a culture that promotes failing early and failing fast, right? So there's 23 of those characteristics. And what we have found is that going in and assessing an organization amongst these 23 traits helps to identify where you are on that maturity spectrum, and more importantly, help to identify what really makes your organization uniquely digital and what are the areas that you need to work on to move further on that maturity spectrum. Okay. So it's really at its core, it's a diagnostic, but it's a diagnostic on something that's very nebulous.
Sure. Right?
Because everyone is using the word digital. It feels like everything just slapped the word digital in front of it. You know, it's like when we used to put the letter E in front of everything, or we used to put the word web in front of everything. Digital is the next term.
Sure.
But if you really buy into the fact that digital is as much about mindset as it is about the technology, then you need a more formulaic approach to figuring out what that mindset shift really is and where you are on that journey.
Yeah. And so if I'm just thinking about that, you talked about the maturity is like a maturity curve, as it were. But if I thought about it in terms of, based on your research, if I was to give you to ask you to give us a bit of a broad indication of where you think companies are largely distributed across that sort of distribution or that maturity curve, from exploring to doing to becoming to being, I mean, what are we seeing? What do you kind of think? Are we most people still in the exploring and doing kind of bit, and it tails off, or how does it split out?
Absolutely. I would venture to say, you know, maybe we have 1-2% of companies are being digital.
Right.
And those would pretty much be the digital natives. But one of the things that's interesting is we've actually done this work with several of the digital natives that you would know about.
Yeah.
And what we found is that maybe they have 4 or 5 traits that are in the being digital category, but the rest of them, they're sitting in becoming digital. So if based on that, we extrapolate that even the digital natives are sitting somewhere in between becoming and being, then for most other industries and sectors, we're going to see mostly everyone at either doing. And I think most companies have explored,
right?
I think many organizations that we deal with are doing digital. Some are toying with becoming digital. Very, very, very few are really being digital. And it's partly because they don't have the mindset, digital mindset that they need. I mean, I'll give you a perfect example. Digital natives in one company, I can't name them per se, but one of the traits that they really had to work on was being geographically agnostic.
Right.
They have a campus that is wonderful in the U.S. that really is a big driver of their culture. But as they're becoming more global, right, larger, how do you replicate that same culture with knowing you don't have the ability to create that campus in every single one of your locations?
Sure.
So that you're truly geographically agnostic, right? That's a big challenge for that company. And frankly, if you think of a lot of the digital natives in Northern California, they fall in that similar space where they've built these massive campuses, but they can't be replicated. But that has become so much a part of their digital culture.
Sure.
And they need a way to replicate it and haven't figured it out yet. So when you really break down the characteristics, you could see how challenging it is to really create that digital mindset across the board. But it also represents a tremendous opportunity. And frankly, I think the mindset in a way is a bit of an equalizer amongst
yes.
companies, because it's not just about how much you can invest in technology. It's about finding that unique mix of digital DNA characteristics that are going to allow you to tap into that digital mindset.
I think you touched on the mindset thing again, and I think that's, you know, to me it seems that that's key, because it's and probably a key to how people view this, because it feels like if you have a prior mindset, let's call it that for want of a better term, then you're possibly going to think about this digital transformation idea as being an initiative rather than a journey, if you know what I mean. And therefore, it becomes a thing that you do, and then you're done and you're finished, and then you move on, rather than being, no, this is just something that we do and we have to keep going, and it's not going to stop, really. Does that make sense?
I love that comment, and it makes perfect sense. I think the word sustainability is very important in today's world, because if you think about all the disruption that's happening and the changes that are happening, it's this constant evolution. You know, in my mind, the most simple way I think about it is when I meet with clients, typically when they embark on any kind of transformation journey, they draw it linearly.
Yeah.
You know, we're going to go from phase one to phase two to phase three. In my view, it's circular. It really is this constant reinvention, and how you sustain this becomes as important as how you get it off the ground. It's just interesting when you think about it, because that requires a lot of different infrastructure, leadership, investment. It's a different way of looking at the world, but in today's world of disruption, I don't see another way.
Sure. And so if I go back to, you know, the core thing that I'm interested in terms of service experience, engagement and stuff, and the very heart of that is customer experience. But I think there's an increasing focus not just on customer experience in that, but there's also a focus on employee experience. And I have this, I was given this talk the other week and I put up this slide where I said CX is equal to a function of EX, so the mathematical sort of little equation. And people seem to kind of go, oh, because they were all coders and kind of UX kind of people, and they seem to get that. But so my question to you would be, so where does employee experience fit into all of this?
Yeah, so a couple of thoughts on that. One is, I think before we even lock down on the term employee experience, I actually think that has to be challenged. I think with the future of work and the advent of robotics, different talent models, it really is actually the workforce experience. Okay. That may seem like a nit, but it kind of signifies that as organizations move further and further away from having the majority of their workforce be full-time employees, you really need to think about how the experience you create, how are you going to create that for people who are in the crowd or contingent workers or vendor partners, because they're all really part of that holistic workforce experience, which I think is interesting. But I do agree with you that we have to be applying the same principles of the customer experience to that workforce experience. And it starts from relooking at every process that touches the employee through that customer experience lens. Mm-hmm. You know, I mentioned earlier that I started my career really focused on HR transformation. And while the HR function is wonderful, one of the biggest challenges, and I'm sure if anyone's listening who's in HR would recognize, is that HR processes are often designed from the HR view versus from the workforce view. And so concepts like how you bring in design thinking and thinking through how the employees interact with the day-to-day processes they have to create so that they're not siloed, but integrated processes becomes incredibly important. How do you enable that through digital technology? And this is where digital comes in, right? Digital just isn't about your customer interaction. You have to create digital for your employee. We've actually created our own product around this because we saw a huge gap in the market, a product called Connect Me, which is all about bringing a digitized experience to the workforce. Because what we found is that employees would get very frustrated with common HR processes, even if they were enabled in self-service, because they wouldn't be intuitive, or they'd have to go to multiple different systems to get information. Mm-hmm. And what we built was essentially a single platform that brings that all together. So if an employee is going through a life event like they're getting married, instead of having to go to four different places to figure out what to do, it intuitively takes you through that journey or that moment that matters in the way that you as an employee would be thinking about it. That's personalized and contextualized for you, mm-hmm. because that's, in our opinion, that's the key to driving the ultimate employee experience, just like you would do for a customer, right? You wouldn't route your customer to four different places to get an answer, but somehow we've missed creating that for the employee. And that's really, ultimately, that's where we need to go to create that true workforce experience that mirrors what we do for customers.
I like the nuance around it's not about just about employees, but it's also about workers. I think that makes a lot of sense. So thank you for that. So apart from giving us all like a huge amount of homework, Erica, to kind of to figure out kind of what we do with all of this sort of stuff, perhaps you can kind of give us a little bit of inspiration and give us a couple of examples of, say, companies or brands that you think are, they're getting it right. They are in that sort of like the 1-2%, you know, and the sort of things that they're doing, kind of where they're starting, what's driving them, and the sort of results that they're seeing within this context, because that's going to bring a lot of this to life and give us something to aim for, I guess.
Yeah, absolutely. So let me give you one example I recently heard about. I won't I won't name the company, but I think it'll give you a good sense. So you know, there's a large, very large hotel chain, and they're grappling with this whole concept of future of work and this digital journey. And, you know, one of the things that they've been thinking about ultimately, and I'll weave in some of the points I talked about earlier, right? As a hotel chain, one of their biggest competitors, right, is Airbnb.
Right.
And so they need to think about how to create an enhanced experience in their hotels. Mm-hmm. And they've looked to the concierge as the front end, right? When you walk into a hotel, the front desk, the concierge, that's your first kind of core interaction.
Sure.
And, you know, as they thought about that role, they've thought through, well, what do we do with those individuals? Because you could simply replace them through automation and digital. You know, you can have an iPad right up front and, you know, they could give recommendations and they can make reservations. But instead, because they want experience to be so much a part of their brand, they've taken that role and recast it as an experience manager.
Mm-hmm.
And so the idea is that when you are able to go into the hotel, you have this interaction with this individual who curates a very personalized experience for you as a hotel guest, depending on how much time you have, have you been there before, what are your likes, and what that individual knows is going to be the best experience. So what they've done is, you know, they've leveraged digital technologies because they're getting insights on their customers. So they're leveraging digital technologies, but not using it to replace the role that exists, but using it to allow for an enhanced role to
sure.
be done, right? To think about and reimagine what can this role be in the future and how can that new tie to what we want to achieve with our brand, which is to link our brand to this ultimate experience that we're trying to create. And I think that's a great representation of what companies could and should do. Don't run away from digital, right? Embrace digital. Think about how to bring it in, but challenge how that digital technology can help you elevate certain roles that are key to pushing your business strategy forward. And that combination between digital and future of work and the business strategy, I think ultimately is what's going to help organizations to differentiate themselves in this new market. And frankly, it requires, you know, we talked about mindset. That kind of work also requires a different mindset because it requires the HR organization, the business, right?
Yeah.
IT, because they understand the role of digital and automation, to be working together in concert.
Yeah.
To create that type of change. And so the one thing I would say to anyone who's listening is if you're going to go on this journey, you need to think about how to create that type of partnership between these functions in the organization to make this happen, because it's not a change that could be driven by not a change that could be driven by the business alone, not a change that could be driven by IT or your digital organization. It has to be done together in order to really maximize the value. And that is another fundamental shift that we see organizations needing to take. So just to give you an example, but those types of examples are the ones that excite me.
Yeah.
And those, I think, are the companies that are really thinking ahead.
Perfect. So just a couple more questions, if I may. You know, you talk about a lot about kind of mindset, and the mindset that makes me think about this idea of mindset's like a new behavior in many ways. It's like a habit, or because we've got to learn to adopt it. It's not just like a binary switch where you just go, you flick the switch and then it's done. Invariably, it's something we have to kind of try on and get used to it, and then get better at kind of wearing it and so on and so forth. So if I was to say to you, what advice would you give sort of leaders in this sort of space in terms of adopting this new type of kind of mindset? What should they be doing kind of differently or more of, so they're sort of build up that sort of their mindset muscle, as it were?
Yeah. And by the way, I do think it's a habit.
I
think that's a good way of describing it, for sure. I guess a couple of things. First of all, know where you're starting.
Okay.
You know, we had an interesting organization. One of the digital natives came to us and said, every one of our clients is asking us what makes us digital, and we have absolutely no idea. We know we're digital, but we don't know why. There's amazing power in understanding where your culture is now,
mm-hmm.
As your starting point. Two, I think leadership becomes incredibly important. I think organizations need to think about how they're creating digital leaders. And by the way, digital leaders are very different from traditional leaders,
yeah,
because they do think and act very differently. And so I think really looking at your leaders and whether they're truly digital leaders is important, because change starts from the top.
Sure.
And it's going to be driven by the top. And then, you know, I guess the third thing would be, you know, create a destination around what digital means to you. The
right.
reason why we call it digital DNA is because DNA is obviously everyone's DNA is unique to them.
Mm-hmm.
I think the biggest mistake that companies can make is try to mirror the digital DNA of another organization that they see being successful, because it's inherently your culture.
Sure.
And your culture is about you. So really painting that destination that's, you know, not every company is going to be a high tech company, nor do they have to.
Sure.
So which of those characteristics are going to be needed to really move the business strategy forward? So to me, that's, you know, that's kind of where you start on this journey. And I do think, and I love the fact that you included future of work and digital in this discussion, because I do think they go hand in hand.
Yeah.
Right. You have to be thinking about how to embed digital, but you have to be doing it. It's not about embedding digital into the way work happens today. It's about rethinking the way work has to happen tomorrow with the advent of digital.
Yeah.
And that's a very different way of thinking about it. If we're just technology enabling the processes as the way they work today, we've missed the boat. The opportunity is really about taking a step back and asking, why does it have to work this way? And how can it work differently moving forward? And if you can make it work different and make it more efficient, then what do you do with that freed up capacity to differentiate your company even more? And that's where you call them softer skills. To me, it's about the creative skills, the analytical skills, the customer service skills,
sure,
the what we call the new essential human skills that are going to start to emerge.
I like that.
So
new essential human skills.
Yeah.
It means that kind of like the robots are coming, but we're still going to be essential. Fantastic.
You got it.
So quick question. Sorry?
I said the half glass full.
I love that. I mean, I take that approach as well. I mean, I've been looking into this kind of quite heavily, and I do see a role for how we combine human skills and kind of tech to enable kind of us all to deliver sort of better outcomes for both customers and kind of people. But I just wanted to come back, and you said that digital leaders are very kind of different. I mean, could you say just a couple of words on what are the sort of key things that make them different, what make a digital leader different?
So we kind of bucket the differences into three categories.
Okay.
The ability to think, act, and react differently. So a digital leader, if we go back to your question around the organization structure,
mm-hmm.
a digital leader knows how to influence.
Right.
Versus command and control through a hierarchy.
Right.
Because if you understand that innovation is happening in networks of teams, then that influence skill becomes way more important than it does when you could just tell someone, I'm your boss, therefore you have to do it.
Yeah.
Right? A digital leader is going to understand how to promote failure for the sake of driving innovation.
Right.
And how to reward and incent the ability to fail, because they know that ultimately that's going to get to that innovative idea that's needed.
Mm-hmm.
So those are, you know, just some of the differences, how to promote a collaborative working environment, mm-hmm. right? Becomes really important for a digital leader to be able to do, how to communicate a vision that everyone can align to. Right. Knowing that the details underneath that vision are going to constantly be shifting because the world is shifting.
Mm-hmm.
But how do you set that vision that everyone understands so that everyone's marching towards that same ultimate destination? And believe it or not, I think if a lot of organizations look at their leaders in their organization, they might see very effective managers,
mm-hmm.
but not very effective leaders.
Perfect. Thank you. So Erica, before I ask you my final couple of questions, is there anything else that we've missed out that you want to sort of throw into the conversation before I ask you my final two questions?
The only other thing, I talked about future of work and the move to digital, and we talked a bit about kind of sustaining this change over time.
Sure.
The only other, complicating factor that I think is important for organizations to think about is all of this change that's happening, it is going to increase the risk that companies face, right? If you think about everything we're talking about, changing your workforce composition, mm-hmm. Incorporating robotics, looking at different talent models, that's really shifting the mindset around, the risk associated with your workforce is increasing. And so the only other point I would make to companies or to anyone who's listening is don't forget that side of the equation, both the cost and the risk, mm-hmm. Because we are heading into an increasingly complex world. And if we're not proactive around risk, it could be very damaging, not just to your employment brand, but to your corporate brand.
Sure.
And so it's just yet another factor that has to be considered. That's the only thing we haven't talked about.
Well, thank you for highlighting that. And that's an important consideration. And it's one that, I guess we're going to, as we get into this more and more, we'll discover more and more about what we need to do and how we need to do it and so on and so forth. But that, Erica, that brings me to my last couple of questions. And the first one is a bit of a piece of ongoing market research that I've been undertaking, because I wrote a book last year, came out with Pearson. It's called How to Wow. And what I've been doing ever since it's been published to everybody that I've asked, that I've been interviewed on the podcast, is to ask them for their own perspective on what wow service or experience means to them. So I'd be really interested to get your view on that.
In my world, wow service means that you have that the service is personal to you, mm-hmm. that it is contextualized for the situation that you are dealing with in that moment in time, and that it is integrated in the way that you have the ability to get to understand the implications of whatever service you're getting upstream and downstream, so that you're thinking through the whole end-to-end process. And don't have to go back at various points. I didn't know this. I didn't know that. I didn't know what the implications were. So
sure.
It's personalized, it's contextualized, and it's truly integrated end to end. That to me is the wow experience, especially in the world of the employee and the workforce.
Yeah.
That's the ultimate destination.
Perfect. Thank you. And that brings me to my final question that I always ask at the end of these interviews. And the question is this, Erica. Is there anything that you would like to shamelessly plug?
The one thing I would plug, two things. I've talked a lot about digital DNA. I actually, of course, this is a bit self-serving, I guess, but I think it's an excellent tool for mm-hmm. organizations that are struggling to define what is digital, what does it mean to them, how do they move on this digital journey. I think it's a really powerful tool. The second thing, I mentioned one of our products called Connect Me. I think for anyone who's sitting on this call who is thinking about how to ultimately create that integrated experience but is struggling with the technologies that are out there, I would suggest exploring Connect Me. You can find it on the internet as a potential solution, because it really does bring the concept you talked about of translating CRM into ERM,
yeah.
right? Customer relationship management into the way you're managing your employees and your workforce in a way that we haven't seen anyone else be able to do.
Erica, that's fantastic. And I'll make sure I get all that linked, edited up and linked up, and give the Connect Me and also the Digital DNA, as well as the other work that you do, a big sort of shout out when this goes live. But I just wanted to say thank you so much for your time. Congratulations on the work that you're doing. I think it's important work because it's helping organizations get fit for the future, as it were. I just want to say thank you for your time and your sharing your insights with us today. That's been fantastic.
Thank you. This has been great. Really appreciate it.